All right, here we are at 9:10 on the Mighty 690, and we have some special guests joining us from the VFW and the Independence VFW. We have Donnie and Doug. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. How are you getting along?
Hey, doing great. So, you know, we are excited to be able to have you guys on as some regular guests here and the folks from the Independence VFW. This is kind of a unusual time here. We're going to actually have you on the third Monday of the month at 8:10, but we're kind of squeezing into the schedule as we can. So if you want, just can introduce yourselves and what do you guys do with the VFW?
I'm Donnie Collier. I'm the quartermaster of the VFW. I handle all the funds that come through the VFW.
I'm Doug Harlan. I'm an advocate for the VFW and for all veterans. We invite them in and see what we can do for their health care and for maybe for their finances and try to help our local veterans and their families.
Sure. So I wanted to kind of get into the start here. Obviously, so many people are familiar with the VFW, if nothing else, just for, you know, bingo or burger night. But, you know, you're a lot more than that. So can you tell us exactly, you know, what does the VFW do?
Well, our main mission is to take care of veterans and their families and the community. Right now, we're doing that. We have started veteran roundups, where we bring down as many service officers from Wichita as we can and have a three-day event where they fill out paperwork, file claims, learn what they can file on. There's a lot of conditions that most people do not know that they can file on. This falls into families, too, as far as spouses and dependents.
I like to equate it to the, everybody understands the analogy between the Shriners and the hospitals that they take care of. Well, the VFW has service offices and service officers. Those are our mission, kind of like the Shriners. And our main goal is to keep them open and readily accessible, and most of all for free. And we're meeting way too many veterans that are going and finding nothing wrong with lawyers, but you know, we're supposed to be doing this for free. Congress gave us this responsibility, and that's why they gave us a post with a canteen, a concession stand in there to help support the mission. And that's basically what we do.
And now, so as far as the actual structure, you know, the VFW, I know we're all familiar, you know, with our local, you know, actual, you know, places we can go in. But so I'm sure there's probably kind of a little bit more of a state and even a national structure in place. How much does that relate to what we have locally?
They have bylaws that we go by. We actually have a book that explains our charter and our bylaws. And every year they make a new one if there's slight changes here and there. But the number one thing that they have on the front of every book that I've ever seen is no one does more for veterans. And that's something that we have to go by and understand that you don't have to be a combat veteran to be a veteran. We have seen people that have went into the military and started basic and got hurt right off the bat and had to be released from the military. They have benefits coming. So they just need to get with us and let our service officers tell them what the benefits are. The VA changes rules constantly. Therefore, we can't keep up with it. We just support our service officers and give them every tool that we can so that they can come down and explain benefits and what you may be entitled to.
Gotcha. So, I mean, that kind of leads me into my question here. You know, we've got all these commercials we hear all the time about, you know, law firms and Camp Lejeune. And, I mean, there's no way you can't turn on the TV without hearing, you know, one of those commercials. Do you have any advice for some of these victims?
Yes. I would come and specifically for our post, come to our post, and we'll try to help you. And do not sign a contract with a lawyer till after you talk to us. And even our hands are even tied on the Camp Lejeune deal somewhat, and we're advocating to fix that too. That should have never happened.
So for, I know a lot of people know about this, but maybe for some of the listeners who are not familiar with Camp Lejeune, can you give us just a brief description of what all happened with this?
At Camp Lejeune, there was an on-post dry cleaners that put their chemicals back into the water supply, and it went on for over 30 years, 1964 to 1985, I think. But they figured out what's going on, and not only the Marines that served down there, but their families that were living on post while they were working got sick too. And they're very sick, and it looks like the law firms are just dragging it out for their commissions, rather than, I don't know anybody that's been paid, you know. And when I mean by paid, you get health benefits, so you can go to the doctor. It's the unmet needs between the time they file a claim and they get picked up in the system that's very expensive.
Yeah, this is something that we're working on constantly. The rules are constantly changing on this. The third Thursday of every month, we have a free breakfast and a free lunch. And we have our service officers come down, and we want everybody to come to that. We'll feed you for free. There'll be other vets around that you can visit with. A real relaxed atmosphere. And they stay up to date on all the changes on this. I've seen on Facebook where there's advertisements to help you file a claim. And if you, whatever they get, they're going to charge you so much. We do all of ours for free. Ours has to be free, and our service officers are extremely good at it. Like I say, they keep up on all the changes. What we do is support them, because it's full-time jobs for them.
Sure, and I mean, yeah, like you said, it's always changing. So, you know, you guys sound like really doing a good job of being able to facilitate, you know, getting these people together and getting that latest information. What time does the breakfast and lunch start on? It's coming up this Thursday.
Yes, it starts at 9 in the morning. We're usually up there by 8:30. And then the service officers get there about 9, and they'll work till about 2 before they have to go back to Wichita. The thing that we ask when you come to it, try to bring your discharge paper or DD-214. And if you're a family member and you don't know where to get it, come anyway. There's ways we can get your DD-214 for you. And like Doug was saying, anybody that's a widow or dependents of veterans, please come and see us, because they're finding all kinds of difference. Fort McClellan, for instance, was another base that had poison. Persian Gulf.
The Gulf War.
The Gulf War. We have found soldiers that was there that had children after they come home with birth defects. And we know that the Air Force blew up a warehouse that had chemicals in it, and it flooded the whole area. So there's a lot of people that have been poisoned, and unknowingly, they still don't know. But we want you to come in and let us see if we can't help you out.
Yeah, no, that's really good. We're talking with Donnie and Doug from the Independence VFW. And gentlemen, you know, a question that came to mind here is there a particular branch of the military that has been particularly impacted by some of these events?
I'd say the Marine Corps. I mean, everybody gets treated equally, but it seems like the Marine Corps, even in the Gulf War, when the sarin gas got released into the airstream, the Marines got the heaviest dose because it hadn't dissipated in the airstream yet. So they got a larger dose of chemicals than any other branch. A lot of Marines that just served 4 or 6 years and never left the United States, and they're not a veteran of a foreign war. That demographic of veterans needs the most help. It's really hard on their bodies.
Yeah, no, that is, and you think about, you know, Marines kind of being on the front lines of so much, it makes sense that they would be impacted by, you know, just anything and everything.
And the Marines have the least amount of documentation. They don't go to the doctor.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying?
It's, you just tough it out, and, you know?
Yeah.
From the Marines I know, yeah, that's the way it goes.
If you go to the doctor today, you're not going on leave this weekend, you know? They punish you.
Yeah. No, I know a guy who, it was whatever was between the C rations and the MREs, whatever was in that time frame that they had. He said he ate those for like a month and he cold.
Yeah.
And then finally he's like, I'm not feeling too good. And went to the doc and he's like, when was the last time you had a hot meal? And he was like, oh, it's been like a month or so. He's like, you should probably stop eating those for a little
bit. It's funny you bring that up because a lot of these guys have terrible stomach problems, and those field rations that they came out with was a new technology that they were experimenting on troops, and it really, really screwed their stomachs up.
Yeah,
there's issues from that.
Man, yeah. So I mean, you guys can really, you know, help to bring these folks in to facilitate some of this learning and just get that latest information. It sounds like I wanted to ask you too. What effect did the PACT Act have on veterans?
The PACT Act flooded the service officers. We don't think that we were really ready for it. We didn't have enough service officers.
Way underfunded.
But also, it opened the door for a lot of veterans, especially Vietnam veterans. Really opened the door for them on things they could file on. And remember, all these incidents that have happened with the military, with Agent Orange, the sarin gas, Fort McClellan, Camp Lejeune, this all passes on to your family members, your children and grandchildren. We would like to see dependents coming in so that we can start working on them and create a database. We know that the VA is very slow, and it takes them 40 years to figure out that Agent Orange is bad for you. But yet we see the same chemical lawsuits bringing people millions of dollars for the same chemical that was in Agent Orange.
The database is the most important thing. We need to have a place where we can go and see the common illnesses that our children are having, and be able to get on top of that, and not 40 years from now. It needs to happen right now. You know, these kids are young, a lot of them.
Yes, with the new technology, they can create a database and cross-reference times and areas, and it shouldn't take them any time to get a good database going.
It's not that expensive to do. It's ridiculous. It should be done.
Sure, yeah. Especially sometimes the government, especially the federal level, I mean, it just takes so long to do anything. Trust me, we deal with the FCC. So.
In our case, we're running across a lot of people that should be upset that are not upset.
Sure. So, I mean, it sounds like to me that the main...
A lot of them in our own organization, too.
Yeah. So the main thing is that we want to drive home is that, you know, if you're experiencing a problem, you know, depending, that sort of thing, come on out here the third Thursday of the month and you know, you start that conversation, get some of that information.
Yes, if you've ever been in the military or been a spouse or a dependent of somebody that's been in the military, come out and see. You won't know until we check into it and see what you may have that Congress says that you're entitled to. And another thing I want to throw in there, funeral details. Military members have the right to a funeral detail, but what this requires is a copy of the DD-214 to the funeral home. We get a lot of calls about funeral details. The funeral homes know what to do. They just need a copy of your DD-214, and then they get a hold of our detail people, which we've got Coffeyville, Independence, VFWs, and American Legions all working together to do funeral details.
That's important, too, to know the relationship we have with the Coffeyville VFW and the Independence VFW. VFW work really good together. It's more like a Montgomery County VFW than just a local.
We like that. That is really good. And appreciate what you guys do on those, you know, funeral details. I think that's super important. And that is really great to do. So as we kind of wrap up our time here with Donnie and Doug from the Independence VFW, anything else you'd like to share with the listeners here this morning, gentlemen?
We'd sure like to see everybody at that free breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, if you're a veteran and want to just come up and eat, You don't have to file a claim. Come sit down and drink coffee with those that are in line and help pass a little time for them so they don't get frustrated and leave. We try to keep everybody busy during that wait time and make it a pleasurable experience. So
we always run into somebody that is sitting across the table from somebody and says, "I ain't seen you in 20 years."
And we promise not to treat you like beggars.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well, I know you guys are a real friendly place to stop by. And again, that's going to be coming up here this Thursday, starting around 9 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Independence VFW, the place to be.
You should come up and eat, too.
Hey, yeah. If I was off at that time, I sure would. Some of us got to work. All right, gentlemen. Hey, thank you so much for stopping by. Look forward to chatting with you here again next month.
Thank you.
Look forward to it.
All right, absolutely. Donnie and Doug from the Independence VFW. And we have more Open Line to come here on KGGF.